Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, another episode of Enduring It Well, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Love at home. The peace such love affords a family builds a security that allows for growth, nurturing, and fulfillment. But things don't always go as we plan. There can be quarreling, struggles, and differences of opinion. Usually, such problems can be worked out in a healthy way when sincere love and concern is expressed by both parties. But what happens when someone in the family makes a decision to go in a different direction than what has been taught and expected? What pain is caused in such moments, and how does a family and each individual recover from the heartache? We are sent to this mortality to learn wisdom and to learn to make choices for ourselves. We are free to choose what we will do in any given situation, but we are not free to choose the consequences that come from such choices. Our Father in heaven loves all his children and has great blessings in store for those who remain valiant and follow his commandments. By making course adjustments and relying on the atonement of Jesus Christ, all of God's children can partake of His full love and promises once again. The faith and prayers of concerned family members can be a powerful tool in reaching out to those who have strayed from the straight and narrow path. Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen.
Joan Urington was first exposed to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a 15-year-old when she traveled with her neighbors to Utah from San Diego, California, to attend General Conference over spring break. At conference, she sat in the loft of the historic tabernacle near the women of the tabernacle choir, and she had a feeling she would someday sing in that choir. A month later, she was baptized a member of the LDS Church, and a few years later attended Brigham Young University, where she sang in the oratorio and a cappella choirs and in the opera workshop. In 1971, she met her husband Dennis singing in a combined BYU choir for conference. The two married and eventually became the parents of seven wonderful and faithful children. Together, they both had the opportunity to eventually sing in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. As her son Brian was preparing to serve a mission, he suddenly decided to take a different path and left church activity. The Urringtons were stunned. As they desperately tried to do anything they could for Brian, Joan began to attend the temple regularly, pleading in quiet temple service for her son to return to full activity. Eventually, Brian gained a new perspective on life and decided he needed to return to the faith he had been taught his whole life. Now married in the temple, Brian knows he is of value, credits his family and other friends for their constant concern and love, and is grateful for the faithful prayers, even temple prayers, of his loving mother, who, as he put it, never gave up on him. Joan, welcome to Enduring It Well. It's nice to have you with us in the studio today.
Oh, thank you. I am privileged to be here.
So, Joan, what happened to you and your family when your son decided to go a different direction than was expected?
I think I first experienced shock, and I experienced kind of disbelief because it was so unusual according to the character that he had always displayed. I went through pain. I immediately thought, what have I done wrong? What could I have done better? And I started kind of blaming myself. And at that point is when I went to the bishop and I asked him to counsel me, to give me a blessing, which he did. And that led me in the direction which I pursued in ultimately bringing him back.
Take us through your pain for a minute. Describe that pain for us.
The only word I can think of is exquisite. I thought my heart would break. I literally thought it could break and I would die, even it hurt that bad.
He had been valiant, had been raised in the church and was doing what was expected, and then suddenly just took a different path.
Absolutely. I was devastated.
And had you ever expected that?
Never. Never. Of all of my children, I never expected it of him. I thought I had prepared him so well to be a great missionary and I had even taken the effort of homeschooling so that I could spend extra time teaching him and bearing my testimony to him.
So tell us what it's like. Tell us how that felt for you, because surely you had seen that before. Now you're actually in that moment. Was it the way you had perceived it looking at others?
Not at all. It was very personal. It was very intimate to me, so much that when I would go to church, and especially during the sacrament, I had the hardest time singing the sacrament hymns or singing Called to Serve or Dear to the Heart of the Shepherd. Suddenly, those things took on great new meaning for me, and it was very difficult. I would sit where I couldn't be seen because I would cry. When you have a child that steps off of the path and you sense the spiritual death, it's so much different than, say, a child that has physical problems, because I have three of those that I almost lost to physical death. But the pain associated with even thinking about spiritual death was so much more. It just completely broke my heart. And I found myself praying constantly. I began to just talk to the Lord all day long, not only when I was on my knees by my bed, but constantly.
Did your prayers change from once you found out that your son had made those choices that you didn't agree with? How did your prayers change?
They became much more pleading, longing, just begging the Lord to intercede. And yet, knowing that with agency involved, he could not, and yet pleading for a way, very much like the experience I'm sure that Alma's father had. That was the scripture that I was especially drawn to, was that experience of Alma, and that those errant sons were ultimately brought back to paths of righteousness. And that was what I was praying for my son, that he would remember who he was, what his mission was, and that he would return to the path, because the longer he lingered, the more I suffered, and it was uncomfortable.
As you were suffering, as you were watching him go through this and you were taking this on, did you ever internalize it to yourself? Was it something that you felt in? You had done something wrong. Did you notice any sort of feelings of inadequacy as a mother? Did you have guilt? Did you go through any of those kind of feelings?
I did at the very beginning. And one after another of my righteous children reminded me that he has agency and that he was taught the same as they were, and that it was now his choice to exercise his agency, and it was nothing that I had done wrong.
In that moment, what were your desires for him?
To return to the valiant young man that he had previously been. I wanted him back on the straight and narrow path. I wanted my son back.
As you were going through this, were there other scriptures that stood out?
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I clung to that scripture.
Did you find that to be true?
It was absolutely true.
And give me a sense of the comfort you felt from that scripture.
I know that the Lord descended below all things, and that he would not require me to descend below all things like he had. And he had that experience and was allowing me to have a little bit of it so that I could have that for my own experience.
You mentioned a moment ago that the bishop was able to give you a blessing at this critical time in your life. How important is the priesthood?
To me, it is absolutely essential. It is the power of God on earth. And in the blessing which he gave me, when he finished it, he said, please write down what you can remember from that blessing, because it was straight from the Lord. And so I got a little piece of paper and I wrote these words: receive peace and comfort, have faith in the Lord, He is aware of the situation. Don't argue or lecture Brian. Just love him. Go to the temple frequently. Make your home a place of order and peace like the Lord's house. The Lord will tell me what is in Brian's heart. He will inspire me how to respond. Brian will feel and recognize the Spirit at home. He loves me. He's pleased with my service and all I have taught Brian. Again, receive peace and comfort. Counsel together with your husband and continue to read the scriptures and pray daily and sing. The prayers of friends and family here and there are heard, and the Lord will respond to them. Brian will see Christ in your face. These things gave me great comfort, but the thing that I thought about the most after pondering it was going to the temple frequently. I decided that I would try to do that. And what I decided that I would do was that I would go every possible day that I could. And I was surprised that the time would open for me to do that.
So you found yourself in a deep concern, deep despair for Brian. Where did you find solace? Where did you find your guidance?
The temple. Walking into that holy, sacred space, I knew I was in the house of the Lord. I could feel His love. I could feel His peace, and the weight of the world would lift off my shoulders. I especially enjoyed sitting down in a chair and picking up the scriptures there when I was in the temple and reading them and receiving very personal inspiration and revelation concerning what I should do in specific cases of what I was watching Brian do.
So, Joan, here you are. You've begun to understand that your son is going down a different path. You're trying to figure out what you need to do. Your bishop's given you a wonderful blessing. You're praying fervently. You're begging the Lord to help you understand. And one of the things that comes to you is the thought to attend the temple regularly. So you began to do that. What did you see when you started going to the temple very frequently?
I saw a change in myself. My heart began to be filled with love. I began to feel forgiveness. I began to feel a sense of the way that the Lord loves each of His children. My perspective changed by going to the temple frequently. I began to see things in a more eternal way than just a day-to-day one. This made life a lot easier because I could see that there would be an end someday, but that if I persisted and stayed on the path, I knew that the Lord would be with me every step of the way. And I could feel His love for me, and I could feel His love for Brian. And I needed to give Brian his agency and his space, and yet not especially condoning the things that he was doing, but making him feel welcome and loved when he was at home. I told him I loved him very, very much, constantly. Every time I had a chance to see him, I would hug him and let him know of my undying love for him.
So you're in the temple, you're contemplating, you're using that place of places to be closer to your Father in heaven, to get the guidance you need. What did you learn about the way your Father in heaven communicates with you during your son's trial, being in the temple?
The veil is very thin in the temple, and inspiration came for me readily there. Perhaps it was because I was living my life in a way so that I would be totally worthy to receive anything that the Lord would give me. I was trying to live as perfect and pure a life as I could. And by going and serving as a proxy for my sisters beyond the veil, I was learning, I was listening, I was growing, I was becoming more pure, and I could feel a difference in the amount of spirit that attended me.
And is it safe to say that you felt that while you could understand and feel the love your Father in heaven had for your son, Brian, you also felt his love and concern for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it didn't take me long to realize that I was not especially going to the temple for Brian. I was going for myself, and it was changing me.
So what eventually happened for Brian?
Brian turned around. I met a man there in the temple who had noticed that I was coming to the temple, and he had changed his day. He had been serving on Fridays, and he had changed to Wednesdays. And as I came in, he said, "I see you've changed your day too." And I said, "No, I still come pretty much every day to the temple." And he goes, "Every day? Would you tell me why?" I told him about Brian and the blessing that I had received, and that I was being obedient to qualify for the blessings of the Lord. I told him I was praying for a miracle, and he said, "We don't know why these things happen, but the Lord does, and he will lead him back." He said, "I joined the church 37 years ago, and then due to a misunderstanding, I became offended and left the church for a while. I picked up some vices, but the Lord brought me back and healed me. And since then, I've been a bishop, and I've served in many positions, and I have been able to help literally hundreds of people that I would not have been able to reach had I not strayed. And I have had a prodigal son. We will pray for Brian, and he will return." And I was so totally amazed by this exchange, but it was comforting to me to know that someone else was praying for my son. And as I continued to go to the temple and I would see Brother Barrera there, he would always ask me about Brian. I didn't often have anything positive to report, but he never forgot. And then one day I was up at the temple with my husband on a Saturday, and Brother Barrera must have been substituting because he was there at the desk. And I introduced my husband to him, and he said, "Why don't we go out to dinner and we'll be able to talk a little bit more?" And I said, "Oh, that would be really great." But it was Christmas time, and I was looking at Christmas concerts coming right up. And I said, What about right after the Christmas concerts and maybe the New Year?" And he said, "Oh, that would be great." So, and up until that time, I had seen him always in the temple. I did not see him again in the temple. And then in April, I ran into Sister Barrera, and I asked her about him. And she said, "Oh, hasn't someone told you?" She said, "My husband's very sick, and he has a brain cancer, and it's very aggressive, and he's not doing well, not expected to live." She said, "We watch for you every Sunday, but," she said, "now that tumor is taking his sight, and he can't see very much at all." So I was distressed to hear about that.
And when you say he watched for you every Sunday, you mean he watched for you singing music
in the
spoken word in the
choir. That's right. Yeah. And the next Saturday when we were going up to the temple, the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing CD had just been released. And I thought, I will take this, I'll find out where he lives, and I'll gift him one of these. So I looked up in the phone book to see where they lived, and they aren't even a mile from our house in the next stake down. And we dropped by unexpectedly, And Sister Barrera went and got him out of bed and brought him into the living room, and he walked right past me without even seeing me. And she said, I have a surprise for you. Joni's here. And he just lit up like a light bulb. He was so happy. He said, "Joni, will you do something for me?" And I said, "I'll do anything you ask." And he said, "Will you fast for me?" And I said, "I would be privileged to fast for you." And he said, "And will you tell me the day that you fast?" And I said, I will do that." And he said, "Will you come to my house to break the fast?" And I said, "I will." And he said, "And will you bring Brian?" And at that point, Brian wasn't living at home. And so I wasn't sure if I could promise that, but I said I would try. And when we were leaving, my husband mentioned that he did not think that Brother Barrera would even live through the week. He did not look well at all. And so I was concerned that I would be asking Brian to come and meet a man who was dying, who he had never met. Right. And I wasn't sure
how Brian would respond.
I just was not sure what his reaction would be. So I prayed for him to come home. And that had been a Saturday. By Thursday, the following Thursday, he had still not come home. And so I fasted on that Thursday, and I prayed for Brian to come home with a good spirit, that he would understand what I would be asking him to do, and that the Lord would make the opportunity happen. Well, the next Saturday, which was 2 days later, was actually the day before Mother's Day. And Brian came home with a good spirit. And I told him what I was asking. I told him about Brother Barrera, that he had been praying for him, that he is now dying, and had requested to see him, and would he please come with us, and that we would be fasting for him. And Brian said yes and agreed to fast as well. And so we set the fast for Monday. And when he drove up in his black leather jacket and long hair, I thought, oh, what are the Barreras going to think? But when I got to the door, Sister Barrera said, "You've already caused a miracle to happen. Brother Barrera has been up sitting in his chair since 1 o'clock. He is so excited to meet Brian. And we are just so grateful." And then Brian came, and when he got there, Brother Barrera proceeded to tell him how much he loved him. Brian started meeting with the stake president and turning his life around. And then he started meeting with the bishop. And Brian is the same person that he used to be now through this mighty miracle, which I was privileged to witness.
You know, earlier on in this interview, you mentioned that how your heart felt. It was broken. You had a broken heart. Yeah. And we know from the scriptures that the Savior heals the brokenhearted. Let me ask you, how do you feel the Lord healed your broken heart, and how do you think he healed Brian's broken heart?
My heart was healed by the things that I was learning and experiencing as I served in the temple, because my heart was expanding with charity and love. And I know that because of the repentance process, that has taken the burden off of Brian's shoulders, and that he is clean, and that he knows that he can go forward. For my birthday, a couple of months later, he gave me a very special birthday card, which I'm going to share. "Dear Mom, happy birthday. I love you so much. I wish I could find the words to express how I feel. I'm so grateful that you never gave up on me. I'm very thankful for your sacrifice on my behalf. I don't know where I would be right now if you hadn't been there for me when I needed you. I can't relay in a letter how horrible I feel for having caused you so much pain, as I'm sure I did. I hope I can one day make it up to you somehow. Thank you for helping me realize that the Lord still loves me and that through Him we can be an eternal family. I love you, Mom. Your son, Brian.
I find it interesting that we often underestimate the healing power and the true influence that the temple has in our lives. I found this quote by President Lorenzo Snow when he was president of the church just near the turn of the century. He stated, quote, "You that are mourning about your children straying away will have your sons and your daughters. If you succeed in passing through these trials and afflictions and receive a resurrection, you will, by the power of the priesthood, work and labor as the Son of God has until you get all your sons and daughters in the path of exaltation and glory." End of quote. I think it's interesting because he used the words work and labor. What you did, Joan, was not easy. It was work. It was labor. How do you think that labor of love turned out for your son and for you?
That labor of love was a sacrifice, and yet it was not a sacrifice. I enjoyed every moment that I spent there in the temple. I loved the peace and the comfort that I received when I was there. And for Brian, I am just so grateful that he is back on paths of righteousness. He is a great man, and he still has a great mission to perform. To me, it shows his incredible love and the extent that he will go to rescue any single one of his children.
And you experienced that personally.
I did.
What was once a textbook answer now becomes a very much a part of your life.
I was willing to do whatever it took. And if that was sacrificing my time, I gladly did it. And it was worth every sacrifice that I made.
So, Joan, what counsel would you give to mothers and fathers who are struggling the same way you did?
Never, never, never give up. Never. This experience which I have gone through and Brian went through, at first I saw as a lump of coal, and now I am seeing it as a beautiful, shining diamond. I know that Heavenly Father and our Savior live and love us. That we have the experience of going through adversity and affliction is actually evidence of their love for us. They have given us the privilege of living here on the earth as imperfect beings, that we can learn and progress and grow toward the greatest gift that they have to offer, which is eternal life. We are in the process of becoming like them. We're using our agency to choose righteousness, and it can come in no other way. It's a personal education and test that will ultimately lead us back into their presence, and it will be worth all the tears and pain that we have to endure to receive it. I absolutely know that God lives. My faith has increased so much. I am so incredibly grateful for the avenue of prayer that we can talk to our Heavenly Father at any time, at any place, under any circumstances, and that we will be heard. I know that the scriptures are true. I have received such comfort from reading them and receiving the enlightenment that they have to offer. I'm grateful for the experience which I have had over the past few years of watching a beloved son return to activity in the church and return to paths of righteousness. The atonement is the greatest act of love that ever was.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.